family-owned shop in Loganville, Soesby's Garage, for all your automotive repair needs. We service all makes and models, foreign and domestic. We repair engines, alternators, brakes, alignments, AC systems, and more, using certified technicians with over 90 years of combined experience. We also offer same-day service for some repairs. Soesby's Garage, 200 Bay Creek Road in Loganville. Dependable, honest, and fair. Look us up on Google or Facebook. We'll take good care of you.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett studio inside the Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel, it's time for Case in Point, presented by Paradigm Security Services. We are the cornerstone of security in the Southeast.
Welcome, everybody, to Case in Point, presented by Paradigm Security Services. I'm your host, Rick Strawn, the president of Paradigm Security. We're excited to be with you again today, as we always are, on Business Radio X. We're broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett studio, located in the beautiful Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel in Duluth, Georgia. In addition to Paradigm Security Services, this show is brought to you by Soesby's Garage. You heard the clip. 200 Bay Creek Road, John Soesby. Give him a call if you're a mechanic. He is looking for good, certified master mechanics. Now, they are growing and talking. And if you got a car that's on the blink, take it to him, because it won't get any more honest than John is. On every show, we feature businesses and organizations and people in the Atlanta area, but especially those that serve Gwinnett County. With all businesses, while all businesses have concerns of security, not all are about physical security. And we'll touch on that and other related aspects of security as we go through the course of our shows. Again, everybody knows it's that time, election time. And this is probably, you know, you always hear it's the most important election of our lifetime and all that. Well, this time it really is. It's important that everybody get out and vote. But the most important thing about your voting is you got to vote informed. Don't vote the way mama did or daddy did or granddaddy did or your sister, your brother or whatever. Do your own search, your own, you know, verification of where the people are, what their stands are, how they vote, what they say, but more important, what they do. And take a look at their background. I am pleased today and honored to have our state senator, Clint Dixon. He is running for re-election as representing of District 45. And I am so happy to have you back in here, Clint. We had a great conversation before, and we're going to have a great one now. How are you doing?
I am doing great. So grateful to be here with you again today and excited to talk about some of these issues that are in our state.
Well, we got a lot of important issues in this state right now, in the nation too, as a matter of fact. But dealing on the state level, one of the most important issues to most parents in this county is our education system. There's a lot of issues with it. It's constantly in, of course, social media, but it's constantly in the news. But more important, it's constantly on people's minds, especially all the parents. And I'm a grandparent of students that are in this system, and I can tell you I'm deeply concerned about it. So let's talk a little bit about Gwinnett County and what you see as the issues and what we can do to help straighten this thing out.
Yeah, Rick, it's become the biggest issue that I face and my legislative priority for the past two sessions. It's not what I ran on in 2020, but because of COVID and because of students having to be taught digitally, parents were, you know, eyes were opened to some of the curriculum and some of the things that were going on, unfortunately, in our school system. And, you know, everything kind of came to surface. And I've got a memory of my first session in February of 21. We were a few weeks into that 2021 session and started hearing the rumblings of rumors of that the school board was looking to fire then our superintendent, Alvin Wilbanks. Mm-hmm. So I made a point to go down and speak to the school board at that time. Two of the members were only, it was their second public meeting, you know, that they were attending. They had just been elected, as I had, in November of 20. And so I gave a speech. We had 3 or 4 minutes to give. I was cut off mid-speech by the board. And I was just there simply urging them not to fire our superintendent, Wilbanks, to let him serve out his 18 months.
Take a breath.
Yeah, yeah, don't waste $500,000 of taxpayer money.
Absolutely.
You know, there was no Democrat, Republican narrative in my speech. It was just all, hey, guys, just slow down.
Take advantage of what you got.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, he was here for all the accolades that Gwinnett County school system had received. You know, not saying that he was the sole reason for it, but he was a big part of it.
Sure.
And why not
take leadership and guidance?
That's right. Take that institutional knowledge, let him help the board find his replacement, and then give him time to kind of bring up and educate his replacement and get him up to speed, or her up to speed, before they took over. It was only
what better mentor could he possibly have had?
I agree. You know, and later on in that meeting, I do have to say they did let a Democrat speak, and they went double the time and never were cut off. So that was kind of the start of opening my eyes to the issues going on in Gwinnett. And then, you know, after that, with me getting involved with that issue, parents started coming to me from all over the county, and teachers, and some I've been dealing with some principals for the past 2 years with concerns over different issues in the school system. But that's where the issues for Gwinnett County Schools kind of started for me.
Well, the last thing that we need in our school system in the administrative levels is politics. You know, there's this the push and all to get the political designation out of running for the board and for school positions and all that. And that's great, except that the biggest line is they still have the thought process. They still have, you know, whether they lean left or they lean right, liberal or conservative, that process is still there regardless of whether you stick a label on their name of a D or an R. So, you know, that's why I say people have got to be informed. You need to take a look at these people and see what they've done in the past. Because they're talking, I mean, we're bringing people into this county that have really, they've failed in other counties, but we're bringing them in here in our school system to run things. There's something wrong with that thought process.
I agree with you 110%. And
so how do we correct it?
You know,
I tell you, where do we start?
And you always hear, you know, elections have consequences, and you know, I always urge folks to most certainly get involved at the local level. It's so concerning to me, you know, even hitting doors. I've hit thousands of doors this cycle, but then, you know, in 2020 hit tens of thousands of doors through that cycle, and so many folks they're well in tune at the national level issues because it's so easy to turn on the TV and watch it for 5 minutes in the morning and you're kind of up to speed. But when you get to the state level, and especially the county and the city level, people
are clueless. Attention.
Yeah, unless there's a zoning or something like that that pops up in their backyard, a lot of times they don't know who those elected officials are. So I always encourage folks to know who you're, educate yourself before you go vote.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you're gonna check the box next to somebody's name, my name or another candidate, know who they are, know what they stand for. If they're in office, look at their record. And it doesn't take long. I mean, with the internet, I mean, within 30 minutes, you could research each candidate, you know, enough to start building a, you know, an opinion on who you like. And that's what I always try to encourage voters to do, is to make sure you're educated, you know what's on the ballot before you walk into that box.
Well, the way communication is nowadays, if somebody's running for office, you can find out what they've done, whether it be in business and personal life, what they've supported. There's no way that you can't, if you make any kind of an effort at all, find out something on their background. And regardless of whether you lean right or left, that's why I say vote informed. Just because that person has a D or an R by their name doesn't mean that's the way they actually act. So you need to take a look at this and see, is this person handling his life or her life the way that I want it handled when they come into a public office?
That's right.
And that's just something that, and you're right, people don't do this on the local level. And the local levels are what really affect us. I mean, we've got, and we'll talk about it soon here in a minute, about inflation and all that on national levels that trickle down into state levels. But it really, everything that really affects us most generally hits us at the state level. Whether it's filtered down from national level or what, but it's the people that are running the show at your local and state levels are the ones that are really affecting your life.
That's right. And you know, you hear it all the time, you know, elections do have consequences, and that's what we're facing with our school board, unfortunately, here in Gwinnett County. It's, you know, we've got some folks on there, and politics have infiltrated have been filtered into our school board, which trickles down into the school system, in my opinion, and we've got to get rid of that.
Well, it's obvious from day one.
Yeah, there's no, DR&R doesn't need to be involved in that. It needs to be, the focus needs to be on the kids.
Absolutely.
And especially after us going through the pandemic, we've got kids that are a grade or two behind in reading, in comprehension, math, because they weren't in the classroom. We've got to focus on catching those children up, because that's a, you've got such a short window there to do that, or they're going to struggle for the rest of their lives because of that time that they missed.
And we're more worried about teaching them through curriculum that is outside of reading, writing, and arithmetic, the basic stuff that there's, that you send your child to school to learn, to deal with later in their life, to help them through. They're learning about stuff or being taught stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with that, all because it fits the narrative.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, it, many folks know, you know, the Democrats have taken control of our school board, you know, as of 2020 or 2021.
Yep.
You know, and since then, there's been evidence found in 13 counties, I believe, in the state of Georgia, that CRT, critical race theory, was being taught. And Gwinnett, unfortunately, was one of them.
Yeah.
And there's evidence of it. And that's where the Democrats will say, oh, it doesn't exist, because they don't want you to believe it exists. And the name doesn't mean anything.
We talked about it earlier. You tell people over and over and over that something doesn't exist. They start doubting the fact that they've seen it, and then they start believing it.
Right.
That's what they count on.
That's right. Yeah. It's and unfortunately, you know, a lot of not this media outlet, but a lot of media outlets, they do lean left, so they support that narrative, which helps tell that lie, or whatever you want to call it. And like you said, if people
tell
hear
it
that
like
enough,
it is, it's a lie.
That's right. And if people hear that enough, that's what they start to believe, because they don't have any other basis to hear that from. So
they don't have somebody echoing the other side of, you know, common sense.
Right. That's right.
They just start believing what they see.
Yeah. And if we've got time to teach our kids, you know, some of these other curriculum, this divisive curriculum that we have gotten out of our school system, thank goodness, after this last legislative session, teach them how to balance a dang checkbook.
Absolutely.
Create a family budget. I mean, those things are
real
economics.
Like they actually, like they used to many years ago, teach economics. We don't do that anymore.
Right. Because, I mean, as soon as they
teach
graduate
civics.
High school. Right. Absolutely. Graduate high school, they get in college, credit card companies are throwing credit cards at them. I mean, it's coming everywhere. And a lot of folks, it's not only just the student debt, the loans that they have with the college, it's credit card companies doing that. So teach them that basic financial literacy early on, or in grade school, so when they go to college, they're prepared for that.
Well, they don't have the thought process that tells them, wait a minute, just because they're going to give me a credit card doesn't mean I need to take it, and doesn't mean I should take it.
Right.
And what are they don't think through the consequences.
Right.
I guess that's the best thing. And nowadays, there is no consequence for anything that you do. So what the heck? Somebody
right.
else will pay for it.
Yeah. And that's the problem. I mean, you know, and I've heard reports, you know, won't mention any names, but from going back to the school issue, you know, if there's no consequences, I've heard from teachers in Gwinnett County that have been told by administration not to discipline kids for minor offenses because they don't want it on the record. Well, you know, for most
Broken
kids,
window.
That you know, that's fine. But then if you've got some that are kind of pushing that envelope and they don't get their hand slapped or reprimanded, then
they push it.
They're going to keep pushing it. And then that's where we have some of these issues in our school system. I know our school board, which completely floored me, the chairwoman was concerned about that Gwinnett County proportionally had the highest percentage of paneling. So paneling the kid, you know, expulsion out of the school, so they've got to go find an alternative school. So they have changed the requirements to be paneled out, which is terrible to me. Yeah, we've got the largest school system in the state, so mathematically you would think we would probably have the highest paneling because we got the population, you know, and to change the rules on that just the kids will know that.
It incentivizes
those
bad behavior.
That's right. It does.
And the last thing we need in our local, but in our nation right now, is incentivizing any more bad behavior.
Absolutely.
We're doing enough of that on a national level.
Absolutely.
The economy. You know, that's another really biggie, and that's all the way from the national level right down into where we are with the state, which I know Kemp, watched the debate the other night between Kemp and Stacey Abrams, and you know, she just flat said that's all this surplus we need to spend to do this and spend to do that and spend to do the other. but that word spend was in there every time she opened her mouth. And, you know, the idea of getting this stuff back to the people that put it in if you don't need it, you know, what a concept. Wow, what a concept.
Right.
But where do you see the economy as we're going to have to deal with it going moving forward through the next couple of years? And how do you think that we're going to be handling that from a state level?
Yeah, and thank you for asking me that, because, I mean, it is, you know, next to our school system here in Gwinnett, the economy is my next legislative priority. I mean, it's something that, you know, starting in March, once the interest rate started getting close to 5%, you know, the housing market started shutting off. And, you know, to give you a little glimpse of you know, we're a part-time legislator, so my day job is real estate, mostly focused on acquisitions, you know, finding land for developments. And so started seeing, you know, hearing from some of the home builder friends that I have that, you know, in March, sales started slowing off once interest rates started getting close to 5%. And one large builder I know that probably sells about 50 to 60 houses a month in the summer went down to selling 4 in July.
Wow.
So, I mean, it is definitely shut off. Talking to resale agents, you know, their numbers have come down. So just, you know, in my little sector of the economy that I work in day to day, it is really slowed off, and we're definitely in a recession, and it's going to be slow through next year as well, I believe. As far as what we're doing at the state level, this past session, and I had the honor of carrying it on behalf of the Governor Kemp, was returning over a billion dollars back to taxpayers in their tax refund. So if you file jointly, you get $500 back. If you filed head of household, it's $375, and if you're single, it's $250. Well, the governor's committed to do that again next year, next session. He's also committed to give $1 billion back through homestead, through your homestead exemption, give $500 back per person that owns their home, is another relief, and that's $1 billion. And then something that folks are hearing a lot about is, you know, our gas tax. You know, we suspended that last session, which saved you about 30 cents a gallon at the tank or at the pump. But the governor, we in the legislature, we approved it to go through the end of May, and he's been extending it through executive order every 30 days. That's as long as he can extend it for. But he's been doing that, and it's costing the state about $180 million a month. So we're up at about $800 million there. So you've got that. So that some of those things are where the surplus is going. But what I like to tell folks, especially coming off that debate, was, you know, Stacey, you know, wanting to explain and tell people how she's going to spend all this money. Well, that money wouldn't be there. If she was our governor, if I take you back to 18, the nightmare scenario, if she had been leading our state through this pandemic, there wouldn't be a surplus there.
Absolutely.
She would have had a shutdown. She would have done none of the things Governor Kemp did to keep our state open and keep our economy strong.
Yeah, she was talking about that was it wasn't that she was for the shutdown. She was for being cautious. That is about as much BS as I've heard in a long time. She was talking shutdown. I mean, that's what she was talking. And it's amazing how over time stories tend to shift.
They do.
Especially as you near an election. But, you know, the economy and everything, we got this on Nationwide. You get your thoughts a little bit on the national level of it, because you have your hands on the state and you're in close contact with our state senators and congresspeople. Do you see any shift, and I know the answer to this already, but do you see any shift whatsoever in the positions of our current federal government if we stay basically in the Democrat hold?
No. I unfortunately don't see a shift there. You know, our president, you know, keeps and continues to say that we're not in a recession, but if you look up the definition of recession, it's 2 negative quarters of GDP growth.
We're fixing to have 3.
Right. So, I mean, we're there. You know, I was speaking to a high school class, civics class, a few months ago, and one of the girls kind of challenged me on the definition. So we had a spirited
love
debate,
to,
but then
love to have heard that.
Yeah, it was good though, and it was education. I mean, they taught me just as much as I hopefully had taught them. You know, during that yeah. time we had together, but you know, research and understand it. And then she was like, "Oh wow, you're right. That is the definition of recession." And what I tried to explain to her is, not, you know, in every recession, not every sector's hit. So, I mean, you've got to kind of look at it like that as well. But But per the definition, like you said, we're coming up on the third quarter, and I think that I'm hopeful that we'll have a balancing of power at the national level. I hope that and I feel like we can, that we'll take back the House, we're going to take the Senate back at the national level, the Republicans will, and I feel that balance of power, typically, if you look back in history, the economy likes that. They don't want one party in control completely or another, so I'm hopeful that we will take that back, and then next year, hopefully, we'll start seeing some things starting to open up in the economy is what I'm hopeful for, and we get some conservative folks that will actually be able to get some things done, even leading up to the presidential cycle.
Well, I hope they take the checkbook away. Close the checkbook for a while. We've had enough spent, enough infused into this economy to last us damn near a lifetime over just this last 2 years. So if we can keep the conservatives to their word, keep a little bit of a check on that checkbook and not be writing checks all the time, because I know I'm a realist. I know that when you get into power and all that, everybody has a tendency to look at it as, wow, we got this money, we can just write checks.
Right.
I'm hoping that right now that the Republican Party, the conservatives, get in there and actually stick with the idea of holding down on this spending.
Yeah, I agree.
Because if they don't, we've not accomplished anything.
I agree with you totally.
Well, one thing that's big and, you know, to me personally, coming from law enforcement, is public safety. We've got a lot of issues in this state and nationally on public safety. A lot of people like to say, no, it's just a Portland problem, or it's just a Chicago problem, or L.A. or New York. Well, there's an Atlanta metro problem. And, you know, we're the largest county around here outside, I guess, of Fulton. And we've got our share. So where are we at from a local level and from a state level with regards to how we're going to address the crime problem? Public safety.
Yeah, another great topic that folks are very concerned about. You know, we've got to have more officers on the street. You know, when I won my primary back in 20, it was the summer of 2020, and was actually at an event down in Atlanta. You know, when some of the riots started and all of that.
Yep.
That was during the Defund the Police movement, and I experienced it leaving that event that evening in Midtown. You know, going down Peachtree Street and seeing people, you know, groups of people, you know,
starting to congregate.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And no police. I didn't see one police officer. I went straight, you know, a couple of miles down Peachtree to get on 85 to head north, come back to Gwinnett, and didn't see any officers anywhere. And like you said, people congregating, things that shouldn't be going on, but there's no law enforcement presence at all.
I'll hope you didn't slow down.
That's right. That's right. And so, you know, what we've got to do, I mean, there's several things that we need to do. I mean, one thing that we need to do is we need to really look at the retirement system for law enforcement. We need to, this is just my opinion, but this is something we need to really look at, is finding to shore that up, to get that pension plan back there, that, and also to have it where I believe it needs to follow the officer. So if they decide to move from Gwinnett PD to a state trooper or city of Lawrenceville PD or wherever it is, that retirement could follow them to help those guys, because, you know.
Well, it works that way within a state agencies when you're working for a state department and or a federal government department. If you move from agency to agency, your pension follows you, but it doesn't on the local level.
Right. And we need to support those guys. Like I said, the police officers and firemen, I mean, it's a physical job that they have to perform. And as they start aging up, we've got to make sure that we take care of them in their retirement years, because it's a young man's job. And then, you know, like you said, once they promote and move up and they're inside, but whenever they retire, they're fairly young, and we need to make sure that they've got a retirement that is meaningful and that they can live on.
Yeah, 95% of the officers don't go to those upper positions where everybody is inside and spending most of their time sitting on talking to a TV or talking to somebody or doing administrative work. Most of your people are out on the street.
Yeah, they are.
And I used to tell them we had a target on our back from the bad guys, but today it's a lot harder. We've got targets on our backs, law enforcement brothers do, from the good guys and the bad guys.
And we do.
We've got to have support for these guys.
We do. We've got to support them. We've got to back them up. And I do that 110%. And in every industry, you've got a bad apple every once in a while, but it's by far the minority.
Absolutely.
And the narrative that the media's run on the past 2 years, it baffles me that we're not behind and backing the blue 110%, because these guys are out there risking their lives every day.
Oh, yeah. I've been shot at back in the day, and, you know, I've been lucky. I've never been hit, but I've got a lot of friends that were hit. I've got a lot of friends that died in the service. And suffered a day from the injuries they accrued back in their early career. But, you know, there's got to be something here where we support these guys. Like I say, it's very demoralizing to the vast majority of them when they're treated like they're the bad guys, when they're really there, they want to help. And they don't like these bad cops any better than anybody else.
No,
they would just as soon get rid of them as in fact, they'd rather get rid of them more so than most people.
Right. And I tell you, taking you back to that summer day in 2020 where I didn't see any law enforcement, they didn't have the support of their superiors and from the mayor's office, in my opinion, in Atlanta at that time. And, I mean, what are you going to do if you see a crime happening, you know, and thank you for your service. So I know you've got that background. I don't, but if you're seeing a crime happen and you're an officer, well, you're trained.
You have to do something.
Right. But if your superiors are telling you to stand down or don't chase them, or you're seeing your fellow officers get indicted for doing their job, what do you expect
them to do? It creates one hell of a internal conflict.
Right. We've got to have support from, you know, their administration, from, you know, the mayor, city council. Yeah, you've got it. No matter what municipality it is, you got to have support from leadership. Yep. If you don't have that, especially in a job like that, in a dangerous job like, if you don't have that, they can't perform their jobs. So even moving on from, oh, we got to hire officers. We do need to hire officers. Yep. You know, at every level, we need more, but we've also got to support them internally and externally. As a community, we've got to support them, but internally, you know, whatever municipality that they're working for, they've got to be supported from the top down.
Well, you can get officers and to hire them, but in order to hire good, solid, qualified officers that are really there for the right reason, they've got to have the support.
They do.
The people that are smart enough, intelligent enough, got the ethic enough, that really want to be there for the right reason, will not come and put an application in if they don't have the support. They'd rather go do something else, be a firefighter. No, I'm just kidding. Kidding, friends that are out there, the firefighters. But, you know, it's one of those things where the support isn't there. You lose all focus from the law enforcement. They don't want to get involved. And quite honestly, I don't blame them anymore.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Getting involved will get you indicted, and you're just doing your job.
They are. They're just trying to do their job.
Well, you know, public safety covers a lot of areas, and, of course, you've got gangs, you've got a little bit of everything in Gwinnett County. One of the things that, and by the way, I'll interject here, we have a fantastic police department in Gwinnett County.
Yes,
we do.
One
of the best in the state and the nation. They have always backed their officers, and I'll give them kudos on that, because I know a lot of the officers here in Gwinnett, they are awesome people.
No, they
and
are.
They all that have. They've still got a pretty damn good attitude with regards to where they are and where they want to be in law enforcement. And we have very few bad apples in Gwinnett. So
yeah, no,
kudos
I agree.
To you guys.
And I, from what I've seen, their leadership supports them from the top down, and that's what
absolutely.
We got to have. We got to have more departments that do that.
I know a lot of the deputy chiefs and all, and they're awesome people, and they support their people.
Yeah.
But they are focused on doing it the right way.
Absolutely.
Well, one of the issues that we have here that really everybody has, but is as this border thing gets worse and worse and worse, human trafficking is one of the biggest issues. We've had human trafficking issues in this county and in this state for a lot of years, but it is magnified right now. How do you see that, us addressing that as a state?
Yeah, I tell you, and you know, my hat's off to the First Lady and our governor, in working with the Grace Commission. They have set forth countless legislation to help eradicate human trafficking in our state,
yep.
And it's a statewide issue. I mean, it really is. I mean, there's been cases in all 159 counties. I mean, it is a statewide issue. We always like to tell folks when I'm speaking on this issue, it can happen anywhere. But a lot of times where these cases come from, it's from people that they know.
Absolutely.
And that they trust. And I tell this incident that happened several years ago at North Gwinnett High School. There's a young girl that was trafficked by her boyfriend who's a student. And through their relationship over several months, he got her hooked on heroin, convinced her to run away from home. But luckily, our former sheriff working off a tip was able to rescue her and some others at a hotel right there at the interstate there at 85 in Lawrenceville-Suwannee, just hours before she was going to be put on a truck and shipped out of the state. And I tell this story is because, you know, folks like this lady, that family decided to uproot their lives and move out of state, you know, and basically reinvent themselves because they were fearful of, you know, the gang coming back after their daughter. Because what folks don't understand is these gangs are, it's not just one or two, you know, thugs out there, you know, trafficking, you know, young folks. It's an integral gang that's got fingers in the community, throughout the community, in different
it's a web.
Points. It really is. And so that family left, and, you know, and I was fortunate enough to be a part of three pieces of legislation to help eradicate human trafficking during my first term. The first two in 2021, it allowed victims to change their name under seal, you know, which was a big deal, which helped folks. And I had folks ask me, they're like, well, how does that help, you know, victims if, you know, after they've already been rescued? I said, well, and I tell that story of what happened to that young lady. And if she was able to change her name under seal, then she could have protected her identity. And maybe, maybe her family would have felt safe, you know, for her to be able to stay here. Or for the family to stay here in Georgia. And the other piece of legislation allowed them to sue the perpetrators civilly in court in the state of Georgia, which they weren't able to do that before. And folks ask about that. And I said, well, there's bad actors in the business community that are part of some of these gangs.
Absolutely.
In the trucking industry and the convenience store industry. And they're minority by far. Mm-hmm. But being able to sue them civilly, you could take down that entire organization or the hotelier, the bad actor in the hotelier industry, which would be a deterrent to get those businesses out of that industry.
One of the worst things you can do is just turn a blind eye to it.
Oh, absolutely.
If you pay attention and you see something, say something. You know, we've heard that for so long, since back in 9/11, when they started that see something, say something and all. But with human trafficking, it's a very, very accurate thing to do. It's a needed thing to do is to see something, say something, because I noticed there's a commercial on TV, and I've seen it a few times over the past, where they're looking out, and there's a bunch of kids in a house, and they're getting into a van, and the people are sitting there. There's just something not right about this. They're talking to each other on the phone, and, you know, that's exactly it. If it doesn't look right, you know, it doesn't hurt to say something. And it's checked out. If it's okay, great.
And
but if it's not, you've saved somebody.
Yeah, and that's where what folks are apprehensive about sometimes, like, well, you know, is it, or if I'm just overthinking it, but just go ahead and say something.
Absolutely.
Like you said, because if not, then it'll get resolved and move on. But if you have a chance to potentially save somebody's life, it's worth that, you know, minor inconvenience if you are wrong. I mean, there's no.
Yeah, well, people have got to understand that it has increased dramatically with this open border.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
because it's not just them bringing them across the border. They have networks set up within the communities throughout the states, Georgia being one of them. We're a prime, you know, intersecting with all these expressways. We're a prime hub for not only narcotics, but for trafficking, because stuff has moved through here on a regular basis, and more so than a lot of cities, because we are on a major major spoke. Mm-hmm. We got so many spokes running out of us to other places in the state and in the nation. But with them coming in, they're connected to these people, and it's a smooth operation for the most part. What you see getting caught is such a small percentage of what's been coming through and going on that people just got to be aware.
They do.
So I'm curious, but, you know, what you're hearing on the campaign trail overall with regards. I know you have a lot of contacts in the national stuff and in the state stuff. So kind of what you're hearing, let's just throw it out there.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, working hard on my current campaign here in the general, hitting doors. You know, so I'm out there in the community daily right now and talking to voters, mostly swing voters is who I'm targeting currently. And you know, talking to those folks, you know, I mean, it's really all the issues that we just covered. I mean, number one by far is the economy and inflation that folks are concerned about. Number two is public safety, and then our school system that I'm hearing from. But you know, kind of the response I'm getting at the doors is that the wind is in the Republican sails. I mean, the folks are looking for a change. You know, they're not happy with, and I'm talking at the federal level, they're not happy with you know, our current president. They're not happy with the direction our economy and our country's going in. So they're looking for a change, and they've been very receptive, and it really feels like the wind is in our sails at the doors. And I even met a gentleman that had just moved to Georgia from New York State, not the city. 53-year-old guy. It struck me. I was walking. He wasn't on my walk list. Just happened to catch him at the end of his driveway, and he you know, kind of made a joke and asked me what I was selling him. I said, "Well, I'm actually your state senator. I'd like to earn your vote." And he said, "Well, I just moved here from New York and just got a job." And he said, "What party?" He didn't even ask, you know, what I stood for, what my platform was, or look at my push card. He was like, What party do you represent?" And I said, "Republican." He said, "Well, you've got my vote, and so does Governor Kemp." And I said, "Well, really?" So then that kind of turned, you know, from me being interviewed to me wanting to know.
That's why.
Yeah, why. So I asked him, and he said, "Well, you know, born and raised in New York, loved it up there. Family's up there, but he's got family down here in Georgia as well. But they've been shut down because of the pandemic. The company he worked for went bankrupt, because they never were able to reopen." Mm-hmm. And so he lost his job. So he spent all of this time, I think it was about 18 months, looking for a job up there and was unsuccessful. His cousin was able to hook him up, and he was able to land a job here in Georgia. So he sold his house, he told me, up in New York to pay down debt. And he said, and he moved down here, and he was renting the house that I had met him at. And he said, "Clint," he goes, I'm having to start over at 53 at no fault to my own." And I said, "No, sir." I said, "It's not a fault of your own." I said, it's leadership within your state." And he goes, "Exactly right." And he goes, "You've got the right leadership here. That's why y'all are the number one state in this country to do business for 9 years in a row."
Yep.
And he said, "Y'all kept your doors open." And he goes, "Even at the peril of the president, our former president, Governor Kemp, kept our doors open." And he said, "That's why your economy's done so well." And I said, "I agree." I said, if we would have followed the Democrats' narrative and kept Georgia closed, we'd have been in a recession for the past 2.5 years
just
as well.
Like New York.
That's right.
California.
Wouldn't be able to tell that we're going into recession now, because we'd have been in one.
Yeah, I think that's important to get through all that, to find out what the people out there are thinking, which is what you're doing. All the stuff nationally all flows down to the local and the state, and it all affects us extremely bad. Well, I want to thank you for coming on. It's been a great pleasure talking to you once again, Clint. I wish you a lot of luck. I don't think you're going to need it, but I wish you a lot of luck in your election. If people want to reach out, it's getting close. So if people want to reach out and help you get some signs, do whatever, donate to your campaign, how do they get in touch with you?
I always tell folks, you know, I work for you, so I've kept my personal cell phone available for everyone. So I tell you to call me or text me. Reach out to me. Would love to hear from you. I've got my cell phone on my website at voteclintdixon.com, or I'll tell it to you right now. It's 404-862-5000. So call me anytime. Would love to hear from you, or text me if you don't have time for a phone conversation. If you'd like a sign, or if you'd like to volunteer, or if you need something, or if you need something from me, please call me.
Well, I can tell you his cell phone is his cell phone number. I yes, can tell you that for sure. Well, thank you all for joining us on Case in Point, presented by Paradigm Security Services and in part by Sosby's Garage. Be sure to join us for the live broadcast every other Wednesday at 11:30 a.m. here on Business Radio X. Although for the next two Wednesdays, we will be here. Mark Gonzalez will be here. He'll be here next week. If you missed the live broadcast, no worries. You can enjoy the show anytime by visiting businessradiox.com, selecting the Gwinnett Studio, and then clicking on Case in Point. The program is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, really wherever you get your favorite podcasts. So please be sure to subscribe to Case in Point. don't miss any of our shows by hitting that button. For my guests, Clint Dixon, thank you very much for being here. And producer Mike, I'm Rick Strawn. And remember, at Paradigm Security Services, we cover more than just your assets.